Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. Today I'm joined with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
Coach Steve, hey Stranger, how are you?
I know, Nick, I feel like it's been a very long time since I've seen you, only just a few hours, but that is too long. Nick,
it's too long.
Tell me, what's news? How are you, Nick?
I'm very good. I'm very freezing.
Yes.
I'm freezing. Yes, I'm very good. Thank you. I've got, I'm doing my comp. So I'm kind of, I guess I'm about maybe like 11 weeks out from my first comp, which is where I suppose it starts to get a bit more serious.
So give us a little more insight when you say first comp. It's not your first comp.
Oh, no. Oh, yes, that's true. I think I've got that brain of first comp of the year.
Yep.
You know, first comp for a while since May last year. So yeah. And because I say first comp also, I mean, because I'm going to do a series of them. So I'll be doing ICN. It's good if I tell you. I'll be doing ICN on the 1st of October. Then I'll be doing IMBA on the 8th of October. And then I'll be doing Miss Fitness on the 23rd of October. So because if I'm ready, I may as well just do a lot of them.
Yep. You know. So it'll be like comp season, we call it.
Comp season. Comp season just before new baby comes for you. So I'll get that done and then I'll be available.
You'll be available for
help out.
Okay. And then give us some more insight. So what kind of comp, how would you describe it to someone who has no idea what it is?
All right. So I am doing one of those fitness comps that you see on the stage with sparkly bikinis and swimsuits and stuff. But my division is fitness. So it's not quite figure. So that figure is where you're quite muscular. And it's not bikini, where that's basically just like a natural kind of, well, it's supposed to be natural, you know, shapely physique. So I'm the fitness one where you have your abs and you have your quads and all the good stuff and your shoulders. So I'll be doing that and that will be fun. Yeah. So I've been working towards it for a long time and I've definitely had a very great, I guess we would say, improvement season. So I really committed to that and I think I made some good changes.
Yeah. No, we're excited to see what you can bring during this season B, and hopefully you do well in those back-to-back comps. I've never done back-to-back comps. I think like one comp is enough, and that's very draining. But to think about doing like one comp and then, you know what, 5 days later you got another comp, and then what, maybe a week or two later you got another comp, so you got to kind of stay in like this kind of like peak conditioning for each one. But are you going to focus on like one specifically, being like, well, this is the one, or each one equal, like?
I have to say, that's a very good question. I have to say Miss Fitness would probably be the pinnacle one, and that's the one that's at the end. But each one has their own individual look, and, you know, I really want to nail each one, so I can't help but say that I'm focusing on all three. I'm really looking forward to it. Once I get into that kind of condition, I don't mind it either. I'm okay with it. I can handle it. And I haven't done it for so long that it's kind of something that's exciting for me. So I'll be all right. But also if I do well in the first couple, I'll be able to chill a little bit for Miss Fitness, because there won't be much pressure that I'll put on myself. So then I'll probably come in even better. Because you know how when you're a bit relaxed?
Yeah. No, that.
Yeah.
That stress can play a big part of it, right?
That's right. And the idea is also to just get ready a little bit earlier too, so I can kind of play around and perhaps even, you know, I won't say eat my way into the show, but maybe not be on super low calories going in to every single show. So perhaps even sort of starting that reverse diet into the third show, which would be really nice, because that means that my muscles will look nice and full. That would be the ultimate goal, and one day that will happen. Might be this time, might not.
Yeah, it's a very like delicate balance, right? And I don't need to tell you this, more of those who are listening, where to get your body into that like peak level where you can like really strategically say, this is the best that I could possibly look from a range of different variables and inputs, you know, everything from how much water you drink, how much carbohydrate you consume, how many calories you consume, how much exercise you do or don't do, how much sleep you get, all the bits and pieces. And or if you can line up everything in a straight line and that is your peak condition, that takes a lot of tinkering and a lot of experimentation. So, you know, Nick, seasoned, you know, physique athlete, and she's still trying to find what is the best kind of recipe that works for her. So if you're getting towards the end of this challenge and you're kind of like, well, how can I do peak week or get the best, you know, results? My answer is, I don't know. You know, there are a bit of a framework and a few principles to follow, but you know, your body is very unique to you. Your environment is very unique to you, and it can take, you know, multiple attempts and multiple years of doing it until you kind of find the best strategy to bring your best package on stage. So Nick, yeah, we're really excited to see what you can do.
Oh, thank you.
And that is, you know, about 11 weeks away, you're saying.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, I'm also excited because now I've told you guys, well, there's two things. One is I'm accountable, mm-hmm. and you know, everybody can follow along, so that's going to make me feel accountable. But the other side of it is I was listening to a podcast today that was actually saying that if you say your goals, it gives you the same dopamine hit as if you've actually achieved your goal. So I'm a bit worried if that's true, then mm-hmm. I feel like I've already achieved them, so I won't work as hard. Do you think that that's true?
Yeah, I have seen that before, and I think that is true. Yeah, but that's okay, because I think you have a few thousand people that listen to this podcast who may keep you a little bit accountable, Nick.
All right.
So okay. if you wanna give Nick the little thumbs up and support, you can go follow Nick on Instagram. I think it's just your name, Nick. Is it at Nicoletta
Cepellini? I'm the only one that look. Honestly, I'm the only Nicoletta Cepellini there, so you won't. It won't be hard to find me.
Yeah, you can find Nick's handle in the comments. The description. Absolutely. Down below in this podcast. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And also, all you've got to look for is there's a couple of bunnies on my Instagram. So just look for that bunny,
and then
you're in the right spot. But yes, so that's exciting. How are you?
Nick, it's just one day at a time for me. I have recently completed the cardinal sin, Nick.
What have you done?
I have done the cardinal sin. I have modified my program and I have reduced the amount of lower body training I'm doing and increased the upper body training. So I'm officially a bro now, doing fewer leg sessions than I am of upper body sessions. But that's okay, because I have sinned and I've repented my sins, and now it's onwards and upwards for my upper body. So
okay. What's your reasoning?
Well, look, okay. So I love training my lower body, and I love training legs. But you know, there's a time in your fitness journey where you do need to specialize in certain areas. Yeah. So following a balanced program only gets you so far. So if you're thinking, okay, I need to do X amount of lower body, X amount of upper body, or I need to be even, or I need to balance it out, right? There are times where you need to devote your resources into certain areas, okay? And that's more of these kind of advanced concepts, and that's where we kind of get into like our specialized programs. So things like our ultimate arms, legendary legs, where you know you can't just keep doing like a full body program indefinitely, because you know you might just get kind of a very similar conversation to those who want to just maintain their body weight indefinitely or eat at maintenance calories indefinitely. You know, you might not get a significant change, but if you were to structure your training program, so at the moment I'm doing a lower body day, so I'm maintaining my lower body training and then ramping up my upper body volume so that I can grow my upper body, and you know, cycle that on for a couple of meso cycles, come off, go back to maintenance and cycle back on. That allows my upper body to kind of catch up, and you know, just looking at my physique, my lower body really great, upper body maybe not as developed, especially in my shoulders and my arms, right? Mainly because I, as a strange, you know, strange man, you know, who doesn't like to train his arms, I'm not a big fan of training biceps and triceps, right? Like, it's not what I get excited about. I like training my chest and my back. When it comes to the old biceps, triceps, right? So I have completed the cardinal sin, Nick. I am now a bro, and I am doing an upper body day on a Monday. So Monday, chest day, bro. And that's okay, because...
You know, I had chest day today too, so I'm bro too.
Bro too, yes. Bro day. Bro and broettes out there on Monday. Broetta. Nicka Broetta. Love it. Yeah. But that's okay. That's no, one day at a time. And hopefully I can, you know, grow my little pipes up a little bit on the arms and fill out my t-shirts again.
Excellent. Well, I mean, like, as far as I can see from this podcast, like, it's not like your t-shirt's baggy or anything. So,
no, look, I think this is the other problem that we, bigorexia. It's a thing, especially when you start, you know, looking at yourself every day, being like, I can be bigger. And that's okay. It's okay because that's just my fitness goals. And that doesn't mean that you need to have the same fitness goals. But things have changed, and it's good because it's really fascinating to see how volume changes really quickly, and you know, the carryover effect of like the pump and like the inflammation response, and like, you know, just by training your upper body more, just like training your lower body more, or just like training, you see you know, increases in, you know, like body girth, like, you know, the size of your arms, right? It gets bigger. So just the carryover effect of doing more volume leads to more cellular swelling, so that you visibly look bigger even though the muscle may not be bigger. We might talk about that actually in a few Q&A questions later in this podcast. But Nick, look, let's get back into challenge world. So it's an exciting time. We're in week 4. So we're getting up to the tail end of this first phase of the challenge, the week 1 to 4 phase of the challenge. Now, when we move into next week, as we transition to week 5, we move on to the next phase of the challenge, where you'll see a new training program appear in your training plan, and you'll see your nutrition plan slightly change. So if you were following like a weight loss strategy, your energy or your calories will slowly decrease. And if you're following a weight gain strategy, you will find that your calories slowly increase. So there is that phasic change as we move into the next phase of the challenge. And you'll also see a few different combinations of meals in your nutrition plan as well. Now, once we conclude week 4, you will be prompted to complete the week 4 check-in photo. Okay, so that will actually be next week. So coming into week 5, as we transition to week 5, you'll get the week 4 check-in prompt. Okay, so I know it sounds a little bit strange, but once we conclude that phase, you will be able to take a photo, and then you'll be able to upload that check-in photo as we start the next phase of the challenge. Okay, so that doesn't mean that you need to wait to take your photo until that day. You could take your photo right now, click, take a little check-in photo, and then just upload that photo once you get prompted on your app next week. Now, that week 4 check-in photo isn't judged. It's just a requirement to have that check-in process. So you don't need the entry document, you don't need a newspaper or anything like that. It's just a photo just to make sure that you're still part of the challenge, check it in, and then you'll be able to see the button appear on your homepage to complete your check-in, where you'll just input your photo and it'll ask for your weight as well, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Nick, we've been working hard behind the scenes to continue to improve the M Challenge app. And we are, as of recording of this podcast, we're expecting a new update to come to both Android and Apple, which sees a range of updates from the back end of our system, and then a range of front end things that you see. Okay, so we will be moving on to version 2.0. Wow, 2.0, Nick, wow. Right there of the M Challenge app. Just to put it in context, you know, some other really popular apps like, you know, Old Mate, MyFitnessPal are on version, you know, 200 and something. So they're a little bit ahead of us in terms of development and time and effort. So we're just at that infancy stage of the app. So we are still expecting to continue to develop the M Challenge app. Now, a few features that are going to be implemented with this new update over the past week. Firstly, we have integrated Google Fit. So after lots of battles with Google, hail the Google overlords, we've integrated Google Fit into our M Challenge app. And now if you are on Android and on iOS, you can connect your smartwatch to either Apple Health or Google Fit, and then connect that Google Fit or Apple Health to the M Challenge app. So if you'd like more information about how to complete that process, you can go to the M Challenge website in our blog. I've written a detailed step-by-step guide on how to sync almost every activity tracker out there. That is somewhat popular. I'm sorry, I couldn't get through some of those obscure brands that you might find online, especially in maybe Eastern cultures. But you know, the majority of those brands can integrate very nicely with Google Fit or Apple Health. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next thing, Nick, is we have updated and expanded our food database. Okay, so our food database is now up to 400 food items. So we put out a post last week we spoke about it on our podcast and also on our social media pages about what foods you'd like to see in the app. And we have expanded our food database up to 400 different food items. Okay, we are still looking at ways to expand the food database. So if there is a particular type of food that you'd like in the app, we will endeavor to add that food in a promptly manner. Okay. And we are looking at ways to add a feature to the M Challenge app where you can manually add a food an item to the food database, which would go through a screening process from myself or Nick or our admin team. So that means that we negate problems that maybe MyFitnessPal or other apps that use crowdsourced data faced, where, you know, there's like 30 chicken breast items in there where we don't know which one is actually the correct one. So that screening process just allows us to have one, you know, official item of that food, and then we can confirm that it is of the correct values as well. So that is a feature that we are in the process of developing, and that can just take some time. So thank you for to everybody, the many of you who have asked for this feature. You know, it is something that will take time to implement, but we are looking at adding that feature to our program. Okay.
Yeah, I think people have been happy with the latest editions of food because they're all the classic ones that everyone lives off. So
yep.
Good on you. Yeah.
The next feature that we are adding to our app with the very next update, probably the one that you download today when you're listening to this podcast, is the another search bar in our nutrition plan. So if you go to swap a food item, there will be a search bar now. So previously we needed to scroll through all the food items to make a swap, and now there's a search bar where you can swap that food item nice and easily. So that's a new feature which I'm sure many of you will find very helpful. Okay. Now we are developing a few other features that should be coming soon, probably with the next update that we're planning. So we are still developing our exercise video library, so that will come very shortly, and a way that you can view the history information within a workout. So maybe you can view the load or the reps you completed with a certain workout while you're training. So that means that, you know, if you're doing a bench press, you could review when you completed the bench press in the past. So it's a little bit tricky if you're going to look at the exact workout of that versus looking at the bench press as a whole, because you might have done the bench press across different rep ranges. So if you can just review the history of the entire time you've done a bench press, that can be some great information while you're doing that workout. Okay, so that'll be something that's visible within a workout. Another feature that we're looking at implementing is a meal summary. So when you look at, let's say, breakfast, you can see some of the information such as the calories of that meal and some of the macros of that meal. So if you are looking at replacing that meal with, let's say, a pre-made meal or a recipe or another style of food, you can simply look at that information and just find an equivalent swap for the entire meal. Okay, so there's some of the features that might be coming sooner than you think. But look, we are always looking for ways to improve our app. We've got many features in the pipeline, and of course it's just a matter of us project managing it and prioritizing those features accordingly, and then of course utilizing the resources that we have available. If I'm being real right now, you know, we're not a, you know, multi-million dollar international company like I'm talking about MyFitnessPal a few times today. And, you know, we are developing the best app that we possibly can so that, you know, we can get the best results possible. Now, remember that the challenge is ultimately, you know, what the name suggests, a challenge. It's a competition. It's you know, a body transformation competition where you get coaching support from Coach Nick and I. We have a forum you can interact with. We have a community that you can interact with, a range of content and articles that you can engage with to learn more about, you know, body transformation, losing weight, gaining muscle, all that good stuff. And, you know, the app is just another feature of what we can provide to you in the challenge. But the challenge is still the challenge. It's not an app with a challenge, right? So that's the main thing. You know, we're the challenge that has an app. We're not an app that has a challenge. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we hope that you continue to think of the challenge as, you know, it's primarily a competition. That's mostly what we're doing. And we're trying our best to give you the best advice possible so that you can make the changes that you want in your body and get closer towards your goal.
That's right. We're still around no matter whether there's an app or not. So, you know, we're here for you. So there's an app and there's us.
And there's us. Yeah. Yeah, Nick, look, let's move on to our next segment here where we have our community highlight, where we highlight some members of our community. So, Nick, take us away. Who did you find this week and who would you like to highlight?
All right. Welcome, Robina Houston. Robina says, a walk along the coast that turned into a run. All of those excuses of my knees will hurt, my legs will be sore for legs day on Friday, not sure if I can do it. I shut them out and said, let's just see how far I can go. 4.92 Ks was how far I went. a few stops for photos. Next time I'll go an extra 80 meters to round it off to 5Ks. I really, really loved it. I actually couldn't believe how well I did. So well done, Robina.
How good. I love it when you have an impromptu walk that turns into a run. How good, Robina. Mm. Keep it up.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, very, very inspiring. All right, Crystal Holdsworth. Ring push-ups giving me muscles. Food hasn't been on point. Still can't eat in an eight-hour shift. So busy. Then trying to fit in the gym, family, cleaning house and keeping on top of mowing lawns and gardens. I forget to eat. I call it eat on the go. Thankful to meal prep once a fortnight or my teenagers cook extra for when I get home. So it seems like everybody's on board with Crystal, and that's all about setting your environment. So that's really good to know that her family's there to support her.
How good. Having teenagers to help you cook. How good, Nick?
It is good, actually. I'll just tell you a really quick story. We went out with Shane's boss for dinner, and there was this fancy dessert that he ordered. Now, I couldn't eat it because of my goals, but it's all good. My daughter, who is 12, she can make the same dessert. It's a layered crepe cake, and apparently it's the thing. And Zara makes it. She just makes such a mess in the kitchen. But other than that, Zara could be a pastry chef at like one of Melbourne's top restaurants and charge about $45 for her layer cake.
No pressure, Zara, but just saying.
Teenagers can do really good things when they want to in the kitchen. Okay, so now we've got Nerida Kanas or Kana, because it could be Kana, I'm not sure. But Nerida, well done. You're very active on the Facebook group and it's fantastic because I reckon active is accountable. Anyway, she says, it's leg day and it shows. I can see my calf again. Oh, that's always nice when your calves get leaner. Feeling stronger already. And also a little bit of a happy Tutu Tuesday, which people are loving. They love their tutus. So Nerida, well done.
Is it Canas? Canas? Canas?
Yeah, I reckon it's Anna, but she can tell us.
Yeah, okay. I feel like the A needs to have a little like accent on it, like a little
yeah,
wave.
And
like
it probably Canas. Actually does. It's just that we don't have that on our typer. On our typer.
No, so good. So good, Nerida. How good are calves when they pop?
Yes, they're good. We like them.
Now, Nick, I've got a few individuals that I'd like to highlight this week. So the first one goes out to Melissa Barbarich.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's recently changed her name, Melissa. One step at a time. Today, I went completely out of my comfort zone. And for the first time in 13 years, I stepped back into a gym. I signed up for Fernwood and added a PT twice a week. I love that they are a 24-hour gym so that I can go before and after work and I could do virtual classes if no one is on. I am committed this round and knowing that they have extra machines and weights I will need to use as well as the PT showing me if I'm doing the exercises and lifting correctly. I love that. And I think that overcoming the fear of, you know, getting back into a gym, for whatever reason, you know, it's been 13 years, maybe you love training at home. Maybe there are some folk who are, you know, coming out of like the COVID period, you know, getting back into gyms and being in a social environment. It can be a big step, it can be a daunting step. And that gym intimidation is a real thing. And it's amazing for Melissa to get back in the gym and utilize some of the fun toys, I'd call them, you know, like some of the machines and the weights that are there can be a great way to you know, challenge our body and allow us to do some cool things that we simply can't do in a home gym environment. So I'm excited for her. Yeah, good on you, Melissa.
Yeah, good on you. And it's always good to get a coach or PT to show you through the correct way to do a certain thing, and that's what they're there for. So do enlist one of them from time to time just to double check.
The next one here goes out to Felicia Ellis. She writes, first time posting about my body and it's making me nervous. So just for context, she posts a little before and after photo here. But anyway, here's my 3-week progress. No change in weight, but I can see some changes already. 1 year postpartum, my body has completely changed and is the worst it's ever been. Hello, mummy belly and stretch marks. This time I'm determined to complete this challenge and grow. I have been taking it easy the past 3 weeks, slowly progressing with my weightlifting, eating clean as much as I can, and just being active in total. I have to be honest, my steps are in the low numbers, which I'll do my best to improve. Week 3 has been mentally challenging and I've been sick, so it was a slow week. Week 4 will be better. And I like this post. I like this post because it was an honest post. You know, it's a first time posting. She posted before and after photo. And it's not really about the photo. It's more about, you know, making yourself seen, making yourself publicly seen, you know, right? being active online. That's a really powerful thing internally to make us train a bit harder, you know, being accountable. Kind of like what you said, Nick, where you are going to train now as people know that you're going to go and compete in this competition. Same as Felicia here, who, you know, people see her. We see you, keep going, and you know, it's a great start. Sure, you know, those 3 weeks may have been better, whatever that means, to you. So, you know, there's always ways that we can improve those 3 weeks, but you know, that's okay, because that's the quarter of the challenge gone. We've got another three quarters to go, and you can work on each week getting that little bit better, a little bit stronger, you know, eating a little bit better, you know, getting your steps up, all those good things. So keep on going, you can do it.
Well done. Awesome. Yep.
Okay. And last one here goes out to Sean Devlin. And this is another before and after photo, which I thought was really cool. And Sean writes, "I don't normally post pics up much, but I'm pretty happy with my progress to this point. 6.1 kilos down, and the results are well beyond where I expected to be at the end of week 3. And I love this so much because it was just an amazing transformation. You know, this before and after in just 3 weeks was just incredible. So I just want to highlight Sean. Keep going, mate. You know, you're doing well. You know, it's great to see that you're 6 kilos down. Of course, 6 kilos is relative, right? You know, if you are really lean at 60 kilos and you're upset that you haven't lost 6 kilos in 3 weeks, you know, just think again, take a moment, right? And if you haven't lost 6 kilos, that's okay. You haven't done anything wrong. And if you've lost more than 6 kilos, you know, maybe you are losing weight too quickly. That's a different type of conversation. So let's take our mind away from that number. The number doesn't mean too much, but it's great to just see progress. And that's what we're really looking for is progress over these weeks. And that could be progress on the scales. That could be progress in our training. That can be progress just in our mindset, our lifestyle, our environment. So it's great to see that from Sean.
That's right. Progress is so different for every single person. But as long as you can measure it yourself and feel happy with your own progress, then that's what counts. So oh, yeah. Well done. Oh, well yeah. Done, everyone.
Yeah, big congratulations to all of our community highlights that we've highlighted this week. You know, I do want to touch on that concept again that, you know, we often see the best transformations come from people who are active in our community. And that doesn't mean that you need to show, you know, post selfies on our Facebook group or tag us on Instagram, all those things. But by making yourself accountable, showing up online, people will see it. You know, even if that is just commenting on individuals or, you know, putting out some motivational content, whatever it is, that goes a long way. And we often find those that are ridiculously active, especially in our like Facebook group, are the ones that get the biggest transformations in their body. So if you are kind of sitting on the fence and going, well, I'm not really, you know, seeing many changes, I'm going to invite you to get involved into our community, you know, support each other and make some content and post some content online, and you'll be surprised about how quickly your body changes from there.
Definitely.
Nick, let's move on to our next segment here. We have our Coach's Corner, where we offer our tip for the week. So, Nick, take us away. What advice do you have for us?
Okay, I'll just put my mustache on. Can you see my mustache?
Ah, yeah, I must ask you a question, Nick.
I've got a coffee cup with a mustache for everybody who can't see that, but I just had to put it up because that's me being wise with my mustache. So, lucky it's not a real mustache because then we'd start to worry. All right, so I'm just going to talk about, you know how I have all these new things like fit sanity and things? This is about fitness preachers.
Okay.
So what do I mean by fitness preachers? I mean people who have taken on the lifestyle of fitness, people who are living, you know, the good word of fitness, who are, you know, preaching the calories, preaching the exercise, preaching the steps, preaching the hydration. Now, that's all very, very good. Often that is really necessary when you begin your fitness journey because it kind of cements you in the community. It also makes it clear to you what your goals are. It really sets boundaries for yourself as to what you will and won't do and what you will and won't eat. Because when you first start off, you almost need to, I think, you know, get rid of your old life in a way to move forward, you know, and create new habits and things like that. After the dust has settled on that, just to become somebody who your friends and family want to hang out with again. And I've been through this. That's why I'm allowed to say this. You actually have to settle a little bit. And that's where, if you're a fitness preacher, if you're saying, you can't eat that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, I do this and this is the best way, catch yourself out a little bit and chill it back down, because I'm sure your intentions are to help other people, or perhaps your intentions are to tell everybody what you're going to do as to, like, as per what we spoke about before. But think about, a true beginner isn't somebody who is, you know, all wrapped up in what should and shouldn't be. So I'd like you to go back to the beginning with all your knowledge, but be a beginner in your mindset. So that is free of judgment, enjoyment of your journey, welcome and embracing of adversity and difference. For example, just say somebody puts up a recipe for a cookie and you don't like that cookie. That cookie doesn't resonate with you. You prefer to spend your calories on something else. Doesn't mean that the cookie isn't correct. The cookie has a place. There are so many people that would like the cookie, because also the other thing is, you've got to understand, there's not just one direction for fitness. It's not always all about weight loss. There are some people in the challenge, in life in general, who are desperate to make gains, who are eating at maintenance and can afford to eat this and that. A cookie is just a combination of a few ingredients put together as well. That's the thing. So there's no good or bad foods. This particular cookie actually had oats and banana and just that sort of stuff. It was nothing. It wasn't a bomb. But the cookie represents people deciding one way or another how to live their life with fitness and how to get rid of everything to do that. And I think personally, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with me, Coach Steve, because I do know you after 76 hours, I think that it's unsustainable. And it doesn't matter if you can do it for 10 years, at some point you will break and you'll look at it and you'll go, I actually do feel like going out to dinner, or I wouldn't mind having a cookie for breakfast, or I'm kind of over having to be all or nothing. But I want to go back to the beginning where everything was new and I didn't really know. And I want to go back to it with a new attitude. So I would like to just invite everybody to remember these key rules. Remember what it's like to be a beginner. Remember, everybody has different goals. So nobody is right or wrong. Okay. If you're eating veggies and chicken and that's what suits you, then that's great. And obviously for body composition goals, that's the simplest, easiest way, because it's the least palatable food. But once you get to the point where you want to, you know, just sustain your life, perhaps have some joy here and there, you know, incorporate cooking, things like that, it's okay then to incorporate different foods. And it actually doesn't mean that you're less fit than someone else, or that you're better, or that you're worse. So your plan might not be for everybody, and everybody's plan might not be for you, but we can all get along. So that's what I want to say. I want to say, let's just go back to the beginning and embrace each other and what we're doing, because nobody's right and nobody's wrong. The biggest answer that we always have as coaches, with all your education, Steve, with all my experience, with all the different things that we have, we always say it depends, doesn't it? Don't we? We always say that.
Yeah, that's right.
It does. It depends. It does.
No, I like that, Nick. Yeah, I do think there are some folk that are very quick to be, I'm going to use the word gatekeepers, and I don't mean to offend anybody here, where, you know, they are standing at the door of fitness and, you know, they're kind of like Gandalf, like, you shall not pass. They've got the little staff there. And, you know, here's you know, someone who's brand new to the fitness world being like, oh, I'm excited to get strong and be able to play with my kids and, you know, not feel like I'm aging and, you know, maybe lose some body weight and, you know, be able to run 5 kilometers on the beach or whatever their goal is. Oh, I'm excited. And then, you know, here comes Gandalf at the door. You shall not pass unless you eat chicken and veg and you know, do this many steps and drink this many liters of water and take this many supplements. And this, where we know that that's not the case. And that person doesn't need to be a gatekeeper and say that, you know, X, Y, and Z, it needs to happen. And we see that more and more, especially in more modern literature, I guess, science, where we go, well, we see people getting extremely fit and extremely lean and crazy strong doing a whole range of things where we go, maybe what we thought 10, 20 years ago, you know, in the golden era of the Arnold era, maybe that wasn't like what we need to do. Like, it's one strategy and it works for a variety of reasons, but you know, all these things also work as well. So I don't think that we need to be gatekeepers, and we should be welcoming of a range of different, one, strategies, and two, goals, where you know, you may have a goal to be the leanest person in the world, or you may have goals just to, you know, lose some body fat so that you can touch your toes again, right? Whatever that goal is, that's totally fine. And of course, in the challenge, we reward those who are, you know, maybe looking like a bodybuilder, like what Coach Nick is going to look like when she steps up on stage. But that doesn't mean that fitness has to be, you know, what the challenge is. Of course, that's what we want in our competition. But you know, each one of us is on our own journey, and each one of us is following our own you know, standards of what we think fitness is. And if you find that you're a gatekeeper telling someone that they're wrong because they did something, just think about it. Again, you know, be kind to each other.
That's right. And just do not forget also, like, to look like the ultimate bodybuilder, you do go through a phase where you're not always losing weight. Because you have to build muscle to look that way. So there are going to be times when you're going to eat more and probably also that kind of food that people go, oh, wait, that's not fitness. Because if you've got to get the calories in, you don't always want to eat, you know, 10 containers of spinach. You might want to eat a cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're all viable strategies. And, you know, just touching on that one, you know, if I just decided to stay as lean as I could forever, you know, I wouldn't be where I am now, right? Where I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, my legs have grown to an adequate amount. How do I make my upper body grow the same amount? Okay, I've got to scale my volume. I can't stay at you know, maintenance or growing here, blah, blah, blah. I've got to like actually encourage it to grow. And if you see any old videos of me demoing exercises on the challenge, you know, previous Max and Maxine challenge, you might see how lean I was. And now I'm a little bit thicker, but that's on purpose because I want to grow my body, right? So, you know, those times where you can't keep dieting to oblivion, you need to go through a phase of building and growing. Yeah.
Yeah. So just ask yourself, am I a meal or a snack? If you're losing weight, you're a snack. If you're gaining, you're a meal.
Oh gosh.
And it's all good.
All good. All right. Nick, okay, I want to talk a little bit about measuring progress, okay, and taking it on the lens of maybe like a scientific experiment, okay. And stay with me, don't tap out now just because I've talked about science. But essentially, what we're trying to do in our body here when we are going through a fitness journey or doing the challenge is we're doing a mini like science experiment on ourselves. Okay, we're applying an intervention. Okay, it's not doing like a science test, like putting some potions in a bottle and a vial. We are applying an intervention to our body. So our body is currently in what we call homeostasis. It's balanced. It's chilling out. Yeah, great. I'm a body. How you doing? We are applying an intervention. So we're doing that by applying a nutrition strategy, a food strategy, a diet, and then we're applying a training stimulus, so an exercise program, okay? And then we want to test if we're moving towards our goal, okay? Now, ultimately, we need to find a metric to measure if the intervention we're applying is successful, okay? Now, the best way to measure if we are gaining weight or losing weight is to look at our weight. Okay, crazy idea, I know.
I know, what are you talking about?
I know.
That'd be ridiculous.
If your goal is to lose weight, we need to look at our weight to determine if that's our goal. Okay, so ultimately, the best way to measure our weight is to check our, I guess, body weight again on something like some scales. Okay, so coming back down to it to rationalize that into a simple point. The best way to measure weight loss or the best way to measure weight gain is to measure our body weight, okay? Now, there are some folk that are very, very, very quick to reject the scales, either for emotional reasons or certain feelings towards scales or a lack of understanding about a scientific principle of, you know, averaging out data, okay? So we know that our body weight can fluctuate very quickly. And I'm talking about in the case of minutes, my body weight could fluctuate. If I have a water bottle next to me and I drink some water, I'm going to be heavier. Okay. So that number isn't always super reliable, just one number, okay? But what is a better metric of our body weight is our average body weight over time, okay? So when we're looking at our body weight changes, there's no point measuring yourself, you know, just once a week or once a month or once a year, because that number factors in a whole range of variables that can, you know, go up and down from minute to minute, hour to hour as we go throughout our day, okay? Now, broadly speaking, the variables that can scale our scale number, right, is one, our gut residue, so what's inside our digestive system. So I'm talking about the food that we eat. So if I had a really big meal, let's say last night, you know, I had a big old, you know, chicken salad, and it's maybe a kilo worth of food, that food is still in my stomach, in my small intestine, in my large intestine. So that gut residue is still present. So I'm going to be heavier. Or if I went to the toilet, you know, number two, my gut residue will be lighter. So that will change the number on the scale. Now, of course, when we start a diet, often it is, you know, different foods, it can digest slower, we may scale our fiber intake, so digestion changes, so gut residue plays a big part in any new intake of a diet, okay? Next will be our hydration level, how much water retention we have. Now, that number of actual fluid in our body can scale drastically. You know, if I drink some water now, I'm heavier. If I go to the toilet, number one, I'm lighter. If I had trained yesterday, I'm probably heavier because I've got some inflammation in my body. If I'm taking some creatine, I've got some more hydration in my muscle belly. If I'm training, I've got more glycogen storing in my muscle belly. If I'm stressed, you know, I'm probably having a little bit more inflammation in my body. If I'm not sleeping well, I've got some more inflammation. So this water retention can change a lot. Okay, so if you are going to measure your progress, okay, your intervention that you're applying on your body, you need to measure your weight. Now, there's no point measuring your weight just once a week because that's going to randomly plug in all these variables. So, you know, if you slept poorly the night before and you're half a kilo heavier and you look at the scales and you go, oh, I didn't lose any weight, yeah, you won't be able to tell that information. But if you measured your body weight a few times in the week, maybe four times a week, five times a week, six, or even better, seven times every single day, you track that number, you measured out the average for that week, and you go, okay, this week on average I was 99.7 kilograms, okay, next week I am 99.2 kilograms on average, taking in all that information. That is a far better way to measure our progress than just looking at the scales. And I see it way too often, even in our community highlights today, where we go, well, no weight loss. And that's impossible. You can't say that there is no weight loss because you're saying that you started at, you know, argument's sake, 80 kilos, and then now you're at 80 kilos as well. It's like there is the chance that you lined up all those variables perfectly where you drank this much water and you have this much gut residue and you had this quality of sleep, blah, 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 so that after 3 or 4 weeks, you started at 80 kilos and you are exactly on 80 kilos again. That's impossible. Like it just wouldn't happen. So that's the first one of my pet hates when often people say, oh, no weight loss. It's like, okay, no. There's often a recording error. There's an error in the way that you're measuring this data. And maybe you kind of round that number. You go, well, I started at, you know, 82 kilos and now I'm at 78 kilos. They're both basically 80, no weight loss. It's like, well, there is weight loss there. Okay, so that's my little rant, I would say, for those who are very quick to reject scale weight. Now, why is this somewhat important? Well, we need to know if our intervention is successful, okay? We can't sit there and go, well, I want to lose weight, so I'm just going to, you know, do a training program and do a nutrition program and just cross my fingers and hope for the best. We need to know if it's actually working or not. We need to know if we need to reduce our calories or increase our step counts or train a little bit harder or, you know, change our diet completely or look at our environments because something might not be working for us. Now, there are some folk who are very quick to say, ah, ditch the scales, only look at measurements. Okay, sure. Measurements, we're talking about body girth. So around our chest, around our belly, around our hips, around our thighs, you know, you can measure any part of your body. Now, they have their own problems. So if I went to measure my chest, if that tape measure was, you know, slightly off by a few millimeters, that's going to give me a different number. And I mean, like if my measuring tape is a millimeter lower on my body or higher or on an angle or wrapped around or something, that's going to give me a different number. So how do we negate that? Well, you know, maybe we can measure ourselves a few times and get the average of a few different numbers to see if we've, you know, changed our girth. But that girth changes drastically. So like if I'm measuring around my chest, right? If I breathe in, my chest is bigger. If I breathe out, my chest is smaller. If I've just trained my chest that day, like, you know, I did some chest this morning, my chest is going to have a pump. It's going to have some inflammation, some swelling. If I trained my upper body yesterday or the day before, that's going to also scale that number as well. And then, even then, you know, measuring your measurements, you may see like a quarter of a centimeter change across a month of your measurements, okay? So then you can't go from week to week and go, well, I've lost 1 millimeter around my chest and 1 millimeter around my stomach. My program is working. Like that number is so small, the specificity is so small that, you know, you won't be able to track your progress from week to week. It's great in a medium term. So if you are trying to track your measurements, you know, let's say month to month or, you know, quarterly, great, perfect. You know, it's a great way to measure over that longer period of time, because you go, great, I'm down 3 centimeters around my hips, or I'm, you know, down 5 centimeters around my waist. Awesome. But from a week to week point of view, no point. Again, why is it important to measure week from week? Well, we need to know if our intervention is successful. Now, finally, there are some folk who are very quick to look at images and they go, oh, well, I don't look at my scales and the measuring tape. I don't even own a measuring tape. I'm just going to take a photo of myself. And that's great. Yeah. But again, it's really difficult to kind of spot the difference when you have 2 images and you're looking at each image from a week to week point of view and you go, well, did I lose any weight? I don't know. Did I gain any muscle? I don't know. And it's very, very difficult to look at images from a week to week basis, even a month to month basis. Images probably a little bit better for the long-term point of view. So if you are looking at images from, you know, challenge to challenge, like quarterly or 6 monthly or annually, that can highlight some bigger differences, because then we could go, wow, look how much my legs have grown, or look how much my stomach has come in, and those bigger changes. So the main point here, Nick, for those folks that are kind of still with me, I mean, what are you kind of getting at, Steve? My main takeaway is that we need to measure our progress. Okay. We need to know what's going on. We need to know if we're being successful or unsuccessful. And we need to know that sooner than rather later. Okay. So we can't be doing the challenge for 12 weeks or we do multiple challenges, you know, 24 weeks, 36 weeks, or a couple of years and going, well, I'm not seeing any changes. We need to know from week to week, is this working for me right now? Now, of course, there will be some days where you're up and down. You know, it's just like the stock market. You know, there's some days where there's up, some days there's down. There's a general trend that we mainly look at. Great. We're moving down, we're moving up. Awesome. And we need to, of course, appreciate that in these first couple of weeks that our body weight can fluctuate up and down quite a bit. You know, we're starting a new program, we're training a little bit harder, you know, things can change. You might be in a position where you haven't seen a significant change on the scales in these weeks. I get that. Most of that might be just from some changes in your body. If you're thinking that you're growing muscle at the same weight that you're losing weight, if you're growing muscle at the same rate that you're losing weight, I'm going to call it a little bit of BS. You know, muscle growth takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, a lot of energy to do that. And if you think that you have lost 5 kilos and gained 5 kilos of muscle at the same time, the body doesn't work like that. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not seeing any weight change in these months, I must be growing muscle at the same rate I'm losing weight, unlikely. Over maybe a long period of time, that could happen. You know, you could stay at maintenance calories over 12 months and you could see some muscle growth and some weight loss, and you could see some change over a big period of time. But in the short term, that wouldn't happen in the body. So be careful if you're quick to reject the scales. I'm going to recommend you weigh yourself frequently, measure the average, and then track the changes, your weekly average from week to week, to determine if you're actually losing weight or gaining weight. View the trend to know that, is the strategy you're employing working? Are you training hard enough? Are you getting enough steps in? And if you're not seeing any change from week to week, okay, maybe you do need to modify your strategy so that it can actually work. But Nick, that's my coach's corner tip. Also somewhat of maybe a little bit of a rant, I reckon, but don't reject the scales. It's good information so that you know if it's working well for you.
That's right, because if it's not working, instead of getting upset, I think it's better to know. So then you can rectify the situation rather than being in the dark.
Yeah, yeah. That's all it is. It's information. And I think many of us are quick to jump on like an emotional response to some of these numbers and bits of information, when ultimately it is just data for us to guide our journey. It's like a compass being like, all right, which way are we going to go right now? Nick, let's move on to our question answer segment here, where we are going to answer some questions from our community. Okay, the first one here goes, hi, Fit Fam and challenges. I'm heading away for work and I'm looking for any tips and tricks for sticking to nutrition plan, lunch and dinner mostly, while staying away from home. I'll have a studio apartment with basic kitchenette, fridge, microwave, and a small oven. Sounds like they've got a few bits and pieces. So Nick, what advice are you going to give for this person who's going to be staying away from home for a little bit and how they can stick to their meal plan?
Wow. The thing I was just thinking is that it's always like being at home with all those facilities anyway. So in a way, you can use that time to really focus on your own meal plan and menu without having to worry about family or anything like that. So it's sort of like utopia in a way for food. But yeah, so you can go to the supermarket of the township, or the other thing that you can do is take it with you before you go. So go and do your basic shop. Now for me, if I'm going away, I'll always have a packet of oats with me, just basic plain oats. I also take some protein bars just for on the go snacks, because I know that they are something that I can manage and I know what's going on. Then you've got your cans of tuna, your boiled eggs. Now everybody forgets about the good old roast chicken. You can easily consume that with salad, or put it into a wrap, or have it with some rice. It's an excellent source of protein. It's already been cooked. You know that it's going to be good value, fantastic. So that's at all sorts of supermarkets, but also most, say you go to a country town or something where there's not much, they always have a good chicken chop, always. So that's something that I would always do. You can get your pre-made salads all the time now from Coles or Woolies, or even, you know, your local IGA in the country. They've always got something going on there. If you've got a kitchenette, you may have, say, like a fry pan where you can do something with egg whites as well. YoPro is another one, your yogurts. And, just basically even some nuts, things like that. And you can really pre-plan that. You can think, okay, I'm going to have some chicken and salad for lunch. I'm going to perhaps boil some eggs for dinner with a wrap. You can also get the rice cups. So it's just about pre-planning, just like you would when you were at home. I wouldn't really change anything. I would just think I'm going to do everything the same, just in a different setting.
Yeah, I'd agree. And when I saw this question, I kind of thought, well, cool. Like they have all these facilities without, I guess, family at home. And I think it would be a little bit different. Like, you know, let's rephrase the question. And Nick, I'm gonna hit you back with a different part. All right, if you went to, let's say, a hotel and you had a mini bar fridge, maybe a small microwave and no stove, would you give this person the same answer, or would you change it slightly? So what I'm getting at is they've got a smaller fridge, like on a mini bar, and then just a microwave. And let's say they're staying there for the weekend. Would you give them the same response?
Nothing different, other than you wouldn't be able to do egg whites, but you could actually do them in the microwave if you were desperate anyway. You would have to just watch out for your containers, because in a hotel, they're not going to provide you with lots of plates and forks and things like that. So you just have to look out for your utensils, things to put your food in, because they want you to consume the room service. They want you to consume the minibar. So they're going to make it the least sort of accessible. Your environment's going to be the least helpful to you. And they're wanting you to consume what they're offering, because it's probably about $50 for a piece of steak or something. So, your meats and things are going to be cold, but I don't think that that's a real problem. I think that you can work around that. I don't personally, I'm not a temperature of things person. If you've got a microwave handy, you can do your oats in there, so that's fine. I also am somebody, shock horror, who could have cold oats, so for me I would do exactly the same. Don't forget also that you've got your places like Subways and things where you can get just a salad bowl with some chicken. I always get double protein when I'm doing that. I will get two serves of chicken, because one serve isn't enough for someone like myself. that's like very, always very, very hungry. But yeah, so double chicken fills you up. Absolutely delicious. Just think salad, chicken. I wouldn't change.
No. Mm-mm. No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'd agree as well. And I think maybe if you went to like a hotel and it was just a fridge and maybe a microwave, like you could bring some meal prep. You know, you can prepare your meals for the weekend and in the fridge, and then when it's mealtime, you just microwave your container and just eat out of that. It could be a simple answer there. But no, good question. Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, next question here. I was under the impression that you should do large body group compound exercises and high load, low rep exercises at the start of a workout to reduce effects on fatigue and form. Is that another outdated myth? Okay, I like this question. And I think they were referring to maybe some of our programs where there might be a higher rep, low activity exercise first. Maybe so some context. Let's say the program started off with, let's say, like a calf raise, and then we moved into some squats. And the calf raise might have been, you know, sets of like 20 to 30 repetitions. And then the squats were like of a lower rep, higher load. Okay. Now, of course, it makes sense to do something like our heavy squats first. And I'm using the word heavy because we're often doing like a low rep, higher load activity. Doing it first, we are the freshest, right? So, you know, we don't have elements of fatigue on our body, especially when we are doing something like a squat, which demands a high level of technical execution. So we need some like mental focus in the time. So if we are somewhat fatigued and we go to do some squats, we're not gonna be able to do squats very well if we're just kind of like tired, right? So this is where this idea comes from. And yeah, again, you know, there's nothing wrong with structuring your program to do those bigger compound activities first. Nothing wrong with that. Now, the program that we have created in the challenge, especially some of our specialty programs, which this user might have been referring to, factors in this concept where, you know, if you are getting fatigued from these larger activities, that can have a compounding effect through the rest of our program. So if you want to do squats first and you did heavy squats, and then the rest of your programs or something like, you know, RDLs, some leg extensions, some leg curls, and then like a calf raise. By the time you get to the calf raise, you're so tired from all these other exercises that the calves get neglected. Okay. And you know, if you did that chronically over time, you know, you only ever train your calves at the very end of your session after, you know, 10 to 15 sets of other legs exercises. So if you think you're going to put in a high effort onto your calves, you're just tired. Okay. Another way we can rethink about our program is we have a focus of that particular day. So let's say a legs day, we can focus on something like our quadriceps. We can factor in other exercises into that program that doesn't negate our quadriceps. So for example, with my own personal legs day right now, I previously had like a quads focused legs day and then like a hamstring focused legs day. So like a front and back focus. That doesn't mean that you only train those muscle groups, because you know, the one that could be a very quick workout if you're doing some squat, some quadriceps exercises, you know, you're pretty tired after a few sets, but you can factor in some hamstring work in that quadricep focused day. So what I would do, Nick, is I would start my workout with hamstrings, because I can get a really good stimulus of hamstrings, and that doesn't negate from my quadricep work. So I get some hamstrings in, maybe a lower demanding activity like some seated hamstring curls. I sit down, curl my legs, happy days, get a good hamstring pump, and then I move into my quadricep work. So then I might do something like a squat and then a leg press, and then, you know, maybe another quadricep exercise or another hamstring exercise or something like that, right? So that's how I might structure my my legs day. So this particular program started with some calf work. So you do some calf work, get a good calf pump while you're focused. You know, you've got some fresh pre-workout in your body, great, full of energy. You get some focus in your calves, maybe a muscle that is often neglected from people in a legs program. Then when you go into something like squats, the work that you put into your calves isn't super fatiguing. You know, it's just our calves. And it doesn't interfere with our quadricep work doing squats. If anything, it could help, because, you know, you get some stretching in your calves. Great. You're a little bit deeper in your squats. Happy days. So that was the design of that program. So is it like a myth? No, you know, there's nothing wrong with training a larger compound Move First. That's the majority of our M-based programs, is that kind of structure of doing a larger compound exercise first. But then again, there's nothing wrong with utilizing another body part first with another focus in our program. So yeah, that's I guess how I give that advice. It's just a different program design is how to answer that.
Yeah, when I first started in the gym, I had a coach, an oldie one. He always used to make me do calves first before anything else. And I used to get mad because I was like, I will be tired for doing my squats. And he would say, you'll understand one day.
Yeah,
I guess today is the day.
Today is the day. Yeah.
Yeah. I always used to get so mad, but then I was never tired. I just thought I was going to be. So he did know some stuff, and he would also warm me up with hamstrings and all sorts of bro oldie schooly things, but it's certainly the way.
Love it. Nick, next question here. It's amazing how quickly the kilojoules add up from finishing off my toddler's leftovers. Just wondering if we will ever have an option in setting up our to set the program to kilojoules instead of calories. Okay, so I guess this question is maybe that difference between kilojoules and calories. So Nick, do you want to take us away and maybe explain the difference between a kilojoule and a calorie, and I guess why we prefer one over the other?
Yes, I sure would. Well, firstly, I'll just answer your question and clear it up. I don't think that we will ever have an option to set the kilojoules to instead of calories, because just in fitness, we just tend to work in calories, just so you know. So it just is. It's the way. And we were chatting before and you said that that's because it's an American thing. So, you know, I guess that's filtered down for us for whatever reason. So also the other thing is, it's just really good to see that this person's also noticing how quickly it does add up when you do randomly eat stuff. I'll just point that out. So calories are technically kilocalories. So it's part of, it's similar, but 1 kilocalorie is 4.184 kilojoules. So this person's doing the maths anyway, but just to let you know, even though say an Australian standard, you'll see like if you're in a Macca's drive through or if you're looking at something, it says to your daily caloric value. And I think it's vaguely like is it about 8,000? That's a standard. Kilojoules. That's what we do here. But just in terms of fitness, you will have to think about calories. Yeah, I think my fitness pal may have an option to swap it over, but I don't know. Just it's been a lot of years that I've been working in calories.
My comments is that in Australia, we technically use kilojoules, okay? And then in the US, primarily using kilocalories, but often people call them calories rather than kilocalories. And my understanding is that the majority of the fitness literature comes out of the US. I'm talking about the science, which refers to calories. So within fitness, that gets filtered down, and we often talk about calories, and which is why we chose to use calories, because it's more common language. If we started with kilojoules, there'll be many more people confused about kilojoules, where there's folks that have an understanding of a calorie. They are directly interchangeable. So like you said, Nick, 1 kilocalorie is 4.2 is what we often round it to, or 4.184 kilojoules. It's the same number. So if you, it's the same concept we're measuring. Yeah, it's like measuring distance, and instead of using kilometers, you're using miles. Same. And there's nothing wrong with using one or the other. It's just that we often use calories is the common one.
But yeah, we won't change that. That's not going to happen. So there's no point in saying that we are going to, because we're not going to change it.
No. Nick, final question here. I've developed tendonitis in my elbow after some heavy yard work. The exercises that aggravate it are any biceps and chest exercises. So I've been avoiding them and focusing on legs and doing light weights on back, shoulders, and triceps. My question is, from a biomechanical point of view, is it detrimental to omit body parts for a long period? Is it likely to lead to muscle imbalances? For example, training back but not chest, or triceps but not biceps? Thanks. Okay. So let's break it down firstly. Now it sounds like this person is experiencing just broadly an injury. Okay. Tendonitis or a tendinopathy, you know, something happening in there. It's elbow pain simply. They're experiencing elbow pain, and that's aggravated by biceps and chest exercises. Okay. First comment I would make is that, you know, our body works together, as in, you know, there's a reliance on regional interdependence, so that they require each body segment to work together. Okay. So if you went throughout your day and tried to not use your bicep or your chest, you'd have a really hard time to do most activities. Okay. So what I'm getting at is, for this individual, if they're saying that bicep and chest exercises aggravate it, well, then you could also say that bicep and chest movements, like putting on your t-shirt or drinking, that's a bicep curl, or eating is a bicep curl, should also be painful. Okay. Then if that's not the case, well, then you can always scale bicep and chest exercises accordingly. Okay. So putting in a simple way, if you can drink something, as in grab a cup and bring it to your mouth, you're doing a bicep curl. And if that is, you know, 100 grams of, you know, 100 mils of water, and you're drinking that, you could then grab, you know, 100 gram dumbbell and do bicep curls. Okay. So there's always a way that we can scale those exercises to meet our, you know, pain tolerances or, you know, injury management strategies. Okay. Now, the next thing I'd say is that for any injury, the best thing that we need to do is to regress the exercise, deload it, and then look at ways to building it back up, especially for tendon pain or elbow pain or tendinopathies, or in this case, a tendonitis, where we are going to be looking at ways to strengthen the elbow, which would involve things like our bicep, okay? Now, the quickest way to maintain that injury is to avoid moving that area of our body. So if you have back pain, the quickest way to have back pain for a long time is to not do anything with your back. The quickest way to maintain this elbow pain is to avoid exercises. So that's my next advice as an osteopath, and seeing it in the clinic all the time, is that we want to be looking at ways to incorporate elbow work into our program. And you're doing that a little bit with back. You know, if you're going to do a row and you think your bicep isn't working, well think again, your bicep's working. Or if you're going to do you know, most people, the way they do their triceps or their shoulders, they're engaging their pecs. So those muscles are working, okay? So we can't completely neglect that regional interdependence. That's the next thing I'd say. Now, the question is, from a biomechanical point of view, is it detrimental to omit body parts for a long period of time? Okay, so maybe not biomechanical, but, you know, from a physiological point of view, yeah, it can be problematic to completely neglect or avoid muscle groups. So if you are like one of those bros that always put trackies on and never train their legs, okay, well, you're not going to develop your legs. Okay. So from a physique point of view, you could face problems. You know, there is a chance for that muscle stimulus to not be there, and then muscle, you know, catabolism or breakdown occurring. So yeah, you can lose muscle at rapid weight, especially if you're in a weight loss phase. Okay. So, yeah, we can face problems, from muscle imbalances, maybe front and back. So if you're training your chest and then your back, yeah. Okay. Again, you could face some problems, and we see it in the clinic where, you know, again, talking about the bros, I'm sorry, bros today. If you train your chest all the time, but never train your back, or you train your chest at a crazy ratio of volume or at a crazy intensity compared to your back, you know, you get that appearance of that rounded shoulders, the shoulders want to come forward, the chest is so big compared to the back. Okay, we face some structural problems the way that we move. Yeah. But I think for this individual, we want to look at ways to reducing that elbow pain. Part of that would be incorporating some elbow-based work. Now, when it comes to maintaining our body through either one, injuries, or two strategies, like myself, you know, I'm maintaining the volume in my legs to, you know, not lose any leg size or minimize as much leg size loss as I can, while focusing on other areas like my upper body, where this individual is doing the opposite, where they may be doing less work on their upper body, more work on their lower body. We want to look at how much volume we're doing, and we can maintain our muscle mass by reducing our volume by, you know, about a third. So down to a third. So if you're normally doing, let's say, 15 sets of quad work a week, if you went that down all the way down to about 5 sets, you can maintain that muscle mass for about, you know, maybe 6 weeks, or pushing it to that 12-week period. So we can do that if we scale it down to a third. Now, often we want to be looking at our set prescription, you know, to grow muscle anywhere between 10 and 30 sets. If we're cruising below that 10 set, you know, we can maintain, but if we're doing very little to nothing, we are at risk of losing muscle. So there is elements where we need to do some sort of work in there. We're not completely sure what the floor is, so we don't know what the minimum effective volume is. So we can't say, hey, one hard set of quads per week is going to maintain your quadriceps size. We don't know that clearly. It's probably looking at closer to maybe like 5 or a little bit more. But the main point of this is that it can be detrimental, especially for a long period of time, however long that means to you. And your priority right now should be to look at ways to improve your elbow pain. Is it tendonitis? Is it a tendinopathy? Or is it something else? We don't know. Nick.
Yes.
Let's wrap it up there for episode number 76 of the Challenge Weekly Show. If you enjoyed this episode, you can check out 75 other episodes. Ooh, 75.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you next week for episode number 77.
77. Yeah.
77. Good alliteration. Right. Love it. See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend.
Or leave us a review on iTunes to spread the good word. See you next time.